but I soon stopped when I remembered that my handkerchief was in Rose's evening bag. Then a person who didn't seem to be me put my hand up very quickly and pressed button B. When the pennies came out, my inner voice said, "I knew they would." Lida answered sooner than I had expected. She sounded furious. I told her I was dreadfully sorry to disturb her, but that I simply couldn't help it. Then I asked her to get Stephen. She said, "Certainly not. You can't talk to him now." "But I've got to," I told her, "and I know he won't mind if you wake him. He'd want you to if he knew I was in difficulties." She broke off, and for an awful second I thought she had hung up the receiver. Then I heard voices, though I couldn't distinguish any words, until suddenly she yelled out, "Don't you dare do that!" Then she gave a shrill little squawk, and the next second Stephen was speaking to me. "What's happened? What's wrong?" he cried. I told him as quickly as I could, leaving out the quarrel with Rose, of course. I said I had meant to go home by a late train. "But there isn't any late train." "Yes, there is," I said quickly. "Oh, I'll explain it all later. All that matters now is that I'm stranded here, and if you don't come along quickly, I shall get arrested." "I'll start at once." He sounded terribly upset. "Don't be frightened. Go back to your table and order something else. That'll stop them suspecting you." "All right, but do be as quick as you can." I told the waitress my friend would arrive very soon and ordered a chocolate ice cream soda. Then I sat back and just wallowed in relief. Stephen didn't arrive until after 3 o'clock. He said he'd had to walk nearly a mile before finding a taxi. He had an odd, strained look, which I put down to his having been so frightened about me. I made him have a long, cold lemonade. "Did you snatch the telephone from Lida?" I asked. "It sounded like that. What luck for me that you overheard her talking. Is there a telephone on the upstairs landing or something?" "There is one in the studio. We were in there," he said. "Do you mean she was still photographing you?" He said no. "We were just sitting talking." "What, till 2 in the morning? Then I saw that he was avoiding my eyes and went on quickly, "Well, tell me about your interview with the film people." He told me, but hardly a word of it sank in. I was too busy picturing him in the studio with Lida. I was sure she had been making love to him. Then he said, "Let's go and have a look at the Thames now that it's getting light." It was quite a walk, and Heloise loathed it. But she perked up after we bought her a sausage roll from a coffee stall. We got to Westminster Bridge just as the sky was red with dawn. We stood leaning against the bridge, looking along the river. It was beautiful, even though I didn't get any feeling of peace. A gentle breeze blew against my face. It was like someone pitying me. Tears rolled out of my eyes. Stephen said, "What is it, Cassandra? Is it something to do with me?" For a second, I thought he was harking back to his having kissed me in the larch wood. Then I saw the ashamed expression in his eyes. I said, "No, of course not." He said bitterly, "I might have guessed that nothing I've done tonight could matter to you. Who are you in love with, Cassandra? Is it Neil?" I ought to have told him he was talking nonsense, that I wasn't in love with anyone, but I was too tired and wretched to pretend. I just said, "No, it isn't Neil." "Then it's Simon." "That's bad, that is, because Rose will never let him go."